Hey, Jordan Belfort here, the Wolf of Wall Street, for another episode of The Wolf's Den. I'm here with Justice Spekelis. He's the president, it's not CEO, president of an awesome company called the Centralized Investment Group, and they're in the process of building an awesome game, right? And by the way, I'm part of this company, yes, I know the game's awesome, right? Called Realms of Eternity, exactly. Which is basically a play-to-earn game in the metaverse. So what I want to do is really talk about the metaverse in general, cryptocurrency, and especially the context of play-to-earn games, why they're so popular right now, where do you see them in the future going? Is it going to replace all video games, right? Yeah. But let's start with you. So tell me about your background in terms of cryptocurrency, finance. How did you get into this market?
Yeah, I won't start from like the baby beginning. Well, actually, I can. My name is Justice. My father named me that because he's a judge. He wanted to make a joke out of me. You know, I went to law school for more than a year, and I thought that no way.
Right.
Dropped out and decided to study entrepreneurship, entrepreneurial studies. It created several businesses, a few of them successful, a few of them not. But the cornerstone date, the watershed moment for me was in 2013, the 27th of January. My life was changed by two people, Joe Rogan and Andreas Antonopoulos. I heard a podcast, Joe Rogan's podcast, about Bitcoin. It was the first time I heard about Bitcoin. And anybody that knows Andreas Antonopoulos, he's just he's amazing when it comes to explaining the basics and the fundamentals of the technology. Not necessarily in the prices, but when it comes to the technology itself. And for me, as a little evil libertarian, it was an amazing thing to hear.
And what year was this again, you said?
2013. The beginning of 2013 was the first time. But it took me 8 months to start acquiring Bitcoin because I wanted to have as much research as possible. And I see this mistake being done by a lot of people. What they do is they see that the price goes up, right? And you know this, Jordan, people do that all the time. They see that the price goes up and they buy it just because of that or because their neighbor got rich. But I think that—
Well, because Elon said, you know, Dogecoin to the moon, right?
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
I love Elon, by the way, but you know, a lot of people lost money with that.
Exactly.
Anyway.
So I thought that, you know, the best way to do that would be to put my thesis, you know, put my thought behind buying Bitcoin as an intrinsic value, you know, what does it change? What does it bring? And that's how I built my thesis in a way that when prices went down, dipped, I never worried at all because I bought it at $200.
That was your first execution.
The first execution was $200. Then it went up in a few months. It went up to $800. So imagine this, like, oh, I'm the greatest trader ever, investor ever. But then it dropped back to 200, went on for a few years, and then started acquiring Ethereum at $8 late 2016, and decided to solve my own problem. Meaning, I had a lot of cryptocurrencies, I wanted to spend them, but there was not a lot of ways to do that. So I created an Ethereum-based payment processor, similar like to PayPal, sold that company in 2020, and then, you know—
Who'd you sell to?
Private investors.
Got it.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, did a lot of investing, private rounds, until I met, Decentralized Investment Group, Liam, and Hayden, and the goal is aligned. Yeah. Like the way this company is growing, and you know, you met them at a similar time as I did,
right.
they're growing very fast and, had a lot of offers, but this one seemed like the best one to join.
Got it.
Yeah.
So in terms of you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and all the applications that have come after Ethereum, built on Ethereum,
sure.
Where do you see this business of play-to-earn gaming and the metaverse? Is that the natural extension of what's happening here? Is it the next level? You just think it's going to naturally evolve to that?
Yeah, you know, after 2017, every year Ethereum-based economy had some sort of theme behind it. So 2017, early 2018, we had the ICOs. 2018, people thought that it's going to convert to STOs, but it became like a thing for decentralized exchanges and exchange offerings. Then DeFi, right, for 2 years, even so hot that they called it the DeFi summer.
Right.
And last year, obviously, NFTs.
Right.
And Ethereum killers, quote unquote. So this year, we believe at DIG that it's going to be blockchain gaming. But this time is a little bit different because think about it. There are billions of people who are playing games. And I thought about what's like the next biggest industry? What's the next biggest total addressable market? And we think finance. But when thinking about finance, I was asking, you know, my trying to set up a wallet for my grandmother, and it's going to be very difficult for her to navigate.
Sure.
But for gamers are used to navigating software, not navigating hardware. Therefore, I think the penetration of blockchain gaming is going to be very high. Not only that these games are addictive, but also because there is an economic incentive. And especially when we're talking about, you know, third world countries or countries that where average salary is like $500. You know, we've seen that with Axie Infinity in the Philippines. So we believe that this year, the major trend in the of blockchain is going to be blockchain gaming. But also we think that it's going to stick just because of the nature
right.
of gamification.
So you think that the gaming industry, video games, whatever, right? That's been around for, you know, God, since I remember my dad brought ColecoPong home when I was like probably 12 in the 70s, right? I was blown away. And then I just watched until maybe I was like 15 or 16, the industry started to pass me by where I was like, they knew it was so complicated, like in television. And it just started coming out with these crazy PlayStations and stuff.
Exactly.
And I lost interest in it for a while. Then I noticed that my kids, now flash forward 20 years, right? My kids are playing these games and they've evolved to the point where they're so realistic. These first person shooter games, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, geez, my son was spending so much time. I was like, if you keep doing this, you're never going to get laid. Little did I know that these kids would become stars. And it built into a huge business.
Exactly.
So I guess I think that the industry certainly is not going anywhere. It's a long-term industry. People love it. The engagement. I'm involved in two companies, public companies that manage these top
yep.
gamers, right? So I love the sector.
But think about it, Jordan, right? People have this stigma about gaming that it's, you know, worst case scenario, it's a waste of time. Best case scenario, a form of entertainment. But right now, people are earning money and they understand that when you spend like several hours a day doing something, you develop a skill. And there
right.
is a skill of logical thinking. There's a skill of problem solving, skill of reaction, right, when you play. So if people can monetize that, that's going to, you know, just put the industry on steroids.
So do you think that flash forward 5 years from now, do you think all of the games will essentially be on the blockchain or a vast majority of them?
No, I don't think so. But I think that there is going to, like every studio right now thinks about the economic incentive. But who's going to capture value? We don't know whether that's going to be users or that's going to be companies. But blockchain, what does it best, right? And at DIG, every time we get approached by some startup that wants investment, we ask, do you really need blockchain? Like, is it necessary for you
right.
to have blockchain?
Or are you forcing on just to be able to raise money with tokens and make money?
Exactly.
Right. Is there a
exactly.
use case?
Exactly.
Is there a necessity, right?
Exactly. So with blockchain gaming, there is that need of interoperability, of eliminating the middleman and capturing the value for the user. So that's one of the most attractive things. I don't know that, you know, we can absolute it, right? And think that ultimately every game is going to be on blockchain, because there are also some technical issues, right? But I think that, and people have this objection of these games being, you know, not so beautiful, right? Not so visually appealing, especially when we're talking about like Axie Infinity. When you look at it, it's like, it looks like a, you know, a very primitive game.
Right.
Let's
go back a step here, right? So in the play to earn, explain just for the audience that doesn't understand, what exactly is play to earn in the gaming sphere?
So play to earn is basically when you play games and you acquire with your work, with your time that you spend in the game, you acquire certain digital assets that you can later sell, that you can loan, even like it's the whole ecosystem. And
versus the older style games, which where you play and you don't earn money, you just burn time. Is that
Correct.
Okay.
But with Realms of Eternity, for example, we call it play and earn. So we want to encourage people to play this game. It's not necessary for them to, you know, acquire assets. They can play it without even, you know, buying NFTs. Those are just add-ons to enhance the experience.
So in other words, right now, as it stands, play to earn games are typically or always not visually appealing, not nearly up to the level of just, you know, as a game as
yeah.
you'd see with something that's like out being maybe one of the top gaming
yeah.
manufacturers.
And that's
right?
one of the things that attracted you. You know, you saw the visually, it's a AAA grade quality game.
Right. So get Realms of Eternity.
Yeah.
Right. So the idea with Realms of Eternity is that it almost combines the visual appeal of a world-class video game and the operability, I assume, right? You know,
yeah.
I'm not an expert at this, right? Gaming. with the ability to actually make money in the play to earn model. So it takes the, both of those.
Exactly. And there is, you know, people are saying that, you know, they have certain games that are in the metaverse. So having a virtual world does not mean that you're in the metaverse. Metaverse means that you can own assets, that you can own land, you can own the piece of the property. So we're also implementing that in Realms.
Got it. And whose idea was it? Who's like, how'd you come up with this idea for Realms of Authority? How did it start?
So at DIG, we acquired this company called Wild Thunder Studios with 70 people who are in Vietnam. And, you know, people are saying like, Vietnam, why? Vietnam is just a breeding ground of just amazing developers, amazing people who are writing storytelling. You know, the people that we have there are just incredible, have incredible skills, and people live and breathe games. So they came up with the idea, which is has some similarities. Like if we're taking like a very basic approach to understand what like what kind of experience will you have when playing Realms, it's similar to World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft. Got it. So it's World of Warcraft meets Axie Infinity.
Let's see. We're learning from some of the mistakes that Axie, and I'm a fan of Axie Infinity, but we're learning from some of the mistakes and trying to.
All right, so let's explain everyone. Okay, what exactly is the game that Axie Infinity has? How does it work?
Yeah, so you have avatars, right? That you can that you're battling, that you're developing, and it has similarities to the most basic, and maybe you'll remember this, like Tamagotchis, right? Like these little animals that you know,
Pokemon stuff.
It's very similar to that. You know, so when it comes to like, it's not a 3D game. It's not a game where you would, you know, have a very beautiful, visually appealing graphics. So that's what we're trying to fix. And again, like going back to the point, we would love, what we're trying to achieve is people playing the game, even without knowing or thinking about it as an economic or from a financial standpoint.
So to be clear, anyone who's playing Axie Infinity is not playing it for fun. They all play it as a play to earn game. More or less.
You know, it's still sticky, and people play it. You know, there is a community aspect. I think that's also very important in play to earn games.
Okay.
For us, we have 70,000 people on our community already. So there is that, you know,
for relationship. Realms of Authority?
Exactly.
That even though the game's not out, there's already people talking about it.
Yeah, because they've seen, you know, the gameplay, they've seen the trailer, and it's extremely visually appealing. It's very interesting.
Okay.
The story is compelling.
And what is the story?
So the story is about a world that's like a fantasy world where there are different guilds of types of players, and you know they're battling, there are bosses, they're bosses in certain, you know, that goes up and up the levels. We're trying to make it as easy to start playing the game, but very hard to master it.
Okay,
you know that's one of the things that we're trying to achieve.
And then the idea is that as you're playing this game, you're acquiring digital assets in the form of NFTs.
Everything when it comes to like the clothes that the hero is wearing, or weapons that they can even create, right? So you put in the work, you mine minerals, you mine certain things in order to create weapons, and then you can later sell them at a marketplace. So again, like very, very economical there.
Okay, and then there's a token as well, right?
Yes, so there is an in-game token, and there is a token for the project itself.
And how do those two differ?
So the difference is that, you know, like the tokens that are in the game, you can acquire them while playing it. And the tokens that are for the game, like the infrastructure of the game, they will be listed on exchanges once the token becomes public.
Okay. Yep. So let's go back a step now, right? So
because right now we're in the private round.
Sure. So now you just finished raising the
exactly.
first one, right?
Yeah, as of today.
How much money did you raise exactly?
$14 million.
$14 million. Yeah. And that will take you to what point? That will allow you to launch the game? Or is this like one of those things where it's like the regular, it's a work in progress. It never ends. You're always building new worlds and new levels. Is it like that?
There will be seasons. There will be seasons because we want, you know, to keep players on their toes. We want for players to have new experiences, new worlds. So that's what the money is for. Because, you know, it's DIG and Wild Thunder Studios and Realms of Authority, it's self-funded. Everything we build, we have skin in the game of our own. Right. It's just the money that's being raised from the investors is to increase the game, is to increase, you know, to develop it further.
Got it. So what would you consider, like when you look at this, you know, projected out 6 months, a year, what would be a consider like a really successful outcome for the game? Are you talking like a game with millions of users all over the world? Are you targeting certain areas first? Like, what are you looking to do here in the launch? Is it just 100%. Like a proof of concept? No, yeah. we're building a freaking game, like a real, that's going to be all over the world.
No, we want to be one of the biggest in the world. You know, challenge the studios. We want this, we want to have good problems to solve, like for example blockchain scalability. So you know, we would have to build a side chain, build technical infrastructure to become for this to become really usable in terms of, like, we're talking about millions of users.
Some people say that it's very, very difficult to do this, in other words, to take blockchain and apply it to a beautiful, really intricate game, that the reason it's not being done is because it either can't be done, it's extremely difficult to do. Is that, do you think that's true? And have you solved that problem in some way?
Yeah, it is it is more difficult. I'll be honest with you, because, you know, blockchain is a clunky infrastructure to this day, but blockchain in general, technology is a one-way street. So we remember these games, and this is why I value your experience so much, because you remember the times where, you know, the games were just like a few pixels, right? Thrown in
they were awesome, by the way, though. That's the interesting thing,
That's nostalgia.
well, for me, you're right, by the way, right? But like, I enjoyed those simple games, right? And they were like just easy to learn. As you said, it's very important. It's got to be easy to play in the beginning, right? Difficult to master. I think the problem was from the earliest games, they were not that difficult to master. You'd master them, then you could beat the computer after a while, right? Then they started getting better and better. So it started Pac-Man, and you know, after a month, you could just play as much, you would never lose, right? And they came up with Miss Pac-Man, and that became, you know, you could never lose after maybe 3 months of playing the game. They came up with an advanced version. Now it seems to me sometimes when I go to the game, I can't fucking play it. You walk in, it's like you get killed in 2 seconds. You just don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that. That's why the players, that's why we have that 70,000 community, because they want to start playing this game as soon as it launches, because they don't want to miss the train of skills, right? Because if you don't play it for a month, if you don't play it for 2 months, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to be up at the top tier of the players. So, yes, of course, there is a part of that, but we believe that, you know, it's the technology is going to evolve. The problems of scalability, they're going to be solved. And, you know, with gaming, what's cool about it is that you don't need full security decentralization of public blockchains. You know, that could be solved with sidechains, creating technology on the side.
What do you mean? Explain that.
Yeah, so a sidechain would be not a totally public blockchain built by us that increases the scalability and the bandwidth and the capacity of the game for them to be able to make as many transactions as they want, as they needed, in order for this game to become, you know, millions of users.
In the same way, like you have like a Coinbase, which is really a centralized solution, all of those trades are not going on the blockchain. They're all inside the ecosystem of Coinbase. Right, then, and that's how they scale. So you're saying you're going to have there'll be some centralization involved here, so which will allow you to scale the game.
Exactly, and you know, as mentioned, this is a good problem to solve, and we might touch a little bit on regulation, right? Whereas every trend that I talked about, and why we think that it's going to be much more easier for these games to gain traction, for blockchain gaming to gain traction, because there is no barrier of compliance or large barriers of compliance like they were with ICOs, like they were with DeFi.
Sure.
With gaming, is just people like games. People acquire certain assets that used to be assets that were controlled by the central authority that they cannot transfer anywhere, that they cannot take use. And you know, there have been a lot of problems, right, where people would acquire these games, would play for years and years, and suddenly, you know, they, for example, the game is shut down, right? Or they cannot transfer those assets or sell them in certain marketplaces. It's not owned by them. It's owned by a central authority.
So this is sort of giving power back to gamers themselves.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. Is that part of why you think the play to earn model is becoming so popular, that it empowers gamers? Or is it just because it's, you know, people love to have a financial incentive? Or you think it's both?
I think it's both. And I think it's going to increase, you know, with the education for gamers. You know, some of the gamers are looking at these games quite skeptically, but I would say because they are not as visually appealing as these large studio games, or the games that are being created right now, they're being created so rapidly, so they would get on the hype train, right? And we don't care about that. What we care about is creating as the best game possible. And that's why we will take our time. You know, we're transparent about this. You know, the alpha version of the game was going to be released the first quarter of next year, because we're taking the time to create this game to be, for it to be as visually pleasing as possible, you know. And then, yes, there is that economic incentive, which is going to be a great candy for people.
You mentioned something about the metaverse before. You said, like, the, you know, when they say they're in the metaverse, and then you said, well, the metaverse is this, it's when you actually own the land and the is that your definition? What is the metaverse in your definition? Because, like, everyone's metaverse is like sort of this, you know, big sort of amorphous blob right now. What do you think? How would you define the metaverse?
I think it can be defined in many different ways, but with gaming, we define it as ownership of the land, as ownership of that virtual world. Again, giving power back to the people, right? Being able to own part of the game, being able to own a village in the game, right? And then having a possibility to flip that, right? Kind of a real estate aspect of that. So we're combining three things, you know, play to earn, NFTs, and metaverse. That's like the main concept of Realms of Eternity.
So in other words, a person comes in, they are all, this is each player, I saw some of the videos, the footage looks great, right?
It does.
The guy with the blonde hair and the shield on his back, right? So is that just one of many characters?
Yes, and all the characters will have their own pros and cons and their strengths and weaknesses. So you one of them can be, you know, a miner, somebody that, you know, somebody that is much faster mining minerals, for example. Another one is going to be a crafter, you know, somebody that can create certain weapons that are stronger than the other people, others. Thieves, right? You can, you know, go on and to a village and steal certain items. You know, you're going to be faster. We're creating all these different characters. So we're implementing the old school game philosophy here, but just putting it onto much, much newer and much more advanced technology.
And then the idea would be that, so when you have a character, and now is that your character is an NFT?
It is. And then again, like, you don't need anything to play this game. You don't need to buy, because, you know, we see that these studios are milking people just to be able to, for them to play games. But here, if you want to advance the player, if you want to create, you know, a very powerful and strong player, you will be able to do that by spending the time or buying certain assets.
Got it. So in other words, if you have no money,
you're still able to
spend the time and just, you know, earn your way up by winning, you could actually have no money and build a whole ecosystem that's valuable within the game, right?
So we expect people to spend time in order to acquire these assets, and then later, you know, make it their job to sell it in the marketplace for somebody that doesn't want to put, like, hours and hours playing the game, or, you know, they just want to have as powerful assets so they can just buy it. So there are two different ways to do that, either spending the time or buying them. So a little bit of an analogy to proof of work and proof of stake.
what do you see? You mentioned that Axie had some issues with the game. What are those issues with scale? Ability and tokenomics, so meaning, you know, the value of tokens fluctuating. What's going on with Axie? You think is the positives and negatives?
I wouldn't necessarily say that, you know, it's scalability problems, because they've been very eloquent with their scalability solutions, because they grew from 2021, the beginning of 2021, for 30,000 daily active users. By the end of the year of 2021, they had 3 million daily active users. That's 100x. So of course, you know, it's very sticky. It's 70% of people who are using Axie Infinity are in the Philippines. However, it was a greenfield opportunity for a lot of people, but I don't want to get too much into details, you know, the tokenomics were not, you know, and again, like, they didn't know better. They were the pioneers. And of course, they made some mistakes. And I wish, you know, that they could fix those mistakes, and maybe they will. But the tokenomics were not, you know, the best, let's say. And what we're trying to do is, you know, we're hiring tokenomics experts, and not one opinion, not two, not three, in order to build this as you know, economically viable as possible.
So when the tokenomics, just so people understand, when the tokenomics are problematic, that means there's something in the way the tokens are issued, how many there are, right? The inflationary aspects of it, that essentially causes downward pressure on the price of a token and all the other assets in the game. So you might have an asset in a game, you think the asset's worth $20 and it every single day it's like 20, 19, 50, 19. It's eroding because there's something wrong with the economics behind the game. Is that what's happening?
Very well said, Jordan. And you know this, it also goes into another side of investors and early investors. What a lot of these games do, and again, many of the blockchain projects, sometimes they don't know better, sometimes they do it on purpose, but there is no unlock period. There is no vesting schedule for the tokens. And you know that with Realms of Ethereum, there is a long vesting period with private investors. And
right, especially the insiders are vested for, you can't just go and dump your tokens, right?
Exactly. And I like what you said. You know, you said, I'm a buy and hold investor. That's what you do. So that's what we're trying to you know, and because we're oversubscribed, because we have so much interest in this game, so what we're doing is we're getting investors that are buy and hold investors, and even if they claim that they are, they will have to be.
Right.
Because there's a vesting schedule. So that is a part of also tokenomics. It's just basic economics.
Mm-hmm. So in the case of Axie, right, are they trying to fix that, or is it just basically too late? Like, you know, the game's out there, cat's out of the bag, and you can put a band-aid here, band-aid there, but it's kind of like, it's never going to be what they want it to be. Is that what's going on right now?
So I'm not an insider there, but, you know, from what I've seen in the industry in the last 9 years that I've been included here, it's solvable, but it is much harder to solve the bigger the ship gets, if that makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. When the ship is small, and right now, you know, we're building it, it's inside, it's not, the game is not released yet. We're trying to see, you know, what are the mistakes that other projects are making, and kind of learning that. And, you know, that's building on the shoulders of giants.
Well, it's like the Titanic, right? When they see the iceberg and they're like, shit, there's an iceberg. Yes. They spin the wheel like crazy, right? They turn the thing, but the ship doesn't move because a large ship doesn't turn at a dime, right?
Yeah, but sometimes
it takes too long, right? But a little speedboat, small ship can see the iceberg and whiz right out of the way and keep on going. That's the advantage of being small.
But sometimes small yachts also crash. You know this better than anyone, right?
Mine wasn't so small.
Compared to Titanic. Yeah.
Well, that was not because of an iceberg. I was the iceberg. I was on the boat, right? So I
have to say this, you know, beautiful house here, by the way.
Thank you.
How long have you been here in Miami?
Almost a year. Not quite a year, but 8-9 months.
But one thing, and we've spent some time together, you know, we walk down the streets, and, you know, I have to say, you know, you're a celebrity, but, you know, you're not an NBA athlete or not a Hollywood actor, but you're getting mugged like you are one. So what do you think it makes you like this cult of personality that's, of course,
It's a combination. It's a combination of the movie, and then people, I think, see the movie, and then we'll go and research the person, like, oh fuck, he's alive. And they see the shit that I do online, you know, teaching people about entrepreneurship, sales, marketing, crypto. So I think it intrigues people. And I also think that, you know, we live in a world right now where I think there's so much bullshit and it's political correctness and just like big government and censorship. And I kind of speak my mind. And I think people respect that. I think they know that, like, they might not always love what I say, but they know that what I say, I mean, and I'm not towing some ridiculous, like, popular party line. I think people like authentic people, you know?
But especially with crypto, right? Because you were the bear, and I remember this clear as day, you know, because, of course, you're a cult of personality here, and, you know, I'm and my friends, we're watching your videos, and I remember the first time you were on the whiteboard, it was Whiteboard Tuesday or whatever.
Like
was
Wednesday.
Called. Yeah, Wednesday. And you were talking about how Bitcoin is going to go to zero. And what I commend you for is that you change your mind with new source of information.
Right.
So that's what great investors and great entrepreneurs do. And, you know, now you're a fully converted, well, not fully, maybe, well, you know, you're selecting the project that you're...
Well, listen, I think that it's a good point, right? So one thing is that if you go back to my public statements about Bitcoin, right? I was a huge Bitcoin bear. But I was always saying, I love blockchain technology. I think there's going to be huge businesses built on this. There's a lot of use cases. I think the last thing, though, is going to be currency. Because A, the inflation on these tokens is idiotic and ridiculous and self-serving. And I mostly think that sovereign risk is going to come in and they're going to shut this down. So my big gripe with it, there was two things back then. Number one, by far, was sovereign risk, right? And what we saw happen with China, I thought was going to happen in the U.S., all right? Frankly, I think if the U.S. could go back 10 years, they'd shut this shit down so fast. It's out of the bag. Yep. It's too late right now. Yep. They can't, which is why I'm a big holder of it right now. That's one thing, right? So I started noticing that large institutions and people that I respected were starting to dip their toes in the water. I'm like, wait a second. There's more to it than that, obviously, right? Another thing is a lot of the stuff I said, I still believe. Notice when I made this call, it was 2017, Bitcoin was 20,000. I said it's going to fucking zero. It crashed, right?
Almost on the day, right?
It almost like to the day where it plummeted and went down for years. Right? Where I was wrong, and this is a huge error that I made, and it cost me a lot of fucking money, was that I was so turned off by things I was hearing people say about Bitcoin. Although Bitcoin's going to a million, it's replacing the dollar. And it was so obvious to me that a lot of this stuff was self-serving and people were just trying to get suckers into a huge, it got way ahead of itself at 20,000. It didn't belong there at the time,
they
right?
called Cryptodamus, that's
yeah,
what they
it just,
did.
Yeah, it just really didn't make sense to me. And so it crashed and I was right. What I was wrong about and my mistake was I never looked deeply enough at the actual technology and what the economics were. And if you actually dig into Bitcoin, it's brilliant. I mean, the programming itself is brilliant. 100%. It's elegant. And so when it crashed and it, like usually when things like that crash, like someone pumps something up, they say it's going to a million and the party's over, right? It crashes and goes to zero. That's why I said it's going to zero. This crashed and went to $2.5 or $3 billion. It's like, wait a second. When something crashes, it doesn't stop at a $3 billion valuation. It's something holding it up, right? Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I realized, wait a second, there's got to be more to it than that. That's number one. Next thing that happened was someone who I deeply respect gave me a very different perspective on Bitcoin. It was one of the first people to say, stop with all this, going to replace the dollar. It's going to, it's such bullshit. This all each looking to rip people off with these ICOs, right? All the bullshit in the marketplace, right? He goes, Bitcoin is a digital property, digital gold. Look at it like that. And he gave me a whole different view of it. And that was the first sober view. I'm sure there are other people speaking like that. It was the first one that I respected.
And someone in your close circle,
And it made me look deeper into it. He actually sent me a Bitcoin for free, all right? Gave
That's
me
cool.
one to get me into it, right? And I started looking at it, and then I started to really notice things that I loved about it. I started hearing people like Michael Saylor, who I respect, and he was saying things that made a lot of sense to me. And what happened was, and it's still, I still believe that there's massive fraud in the market, massive amounts of fraud. It needs desperately to be regulated. So if I've ever seen something that needs regulation, it's cryptocurrency. It's so desperate. It needs to have people who are ripping people off, thrown at us, put in jail, a lot of them, or really fuck people over, because it gives the real players a bad name. Like you guys at DIG, and I'm involved, I'm a consultant at DIG,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And you guys will know, before I would even agree to put my name on this thing, I investigated you guys up and down and sideways and look up your asshole with a microscope because I didn't know you and everything looks good on the surface. Like, how do you know they're legitimate? How do you know they're not gonna do rug pulls or pump, whatever it might be, right? So, because for every company like you guys that's legitimately out there building shit and trying to come up with great new ideas, there's probably 10 people who are simply looking to launch projects and separate people from their money. That's probably a generous statement. It's probably a lot more than 10.
Yeah, and
one.
And I would give advice to people that, you know, they should do a lot of due diligence. What they're doing right now is just buying whatever another person is buying, right? So that's not a great strategy. Buy something that you really like, right? If you understand games, right? And I think a lot of your audience do. Buy games then. You know, if you understand finance, look at the decentralized DeFi coins, you know? Yeah. If you understand art, NFTs, like for example, one of the projects that we're building right now is Club 44. And for people who understand, you know, exclusivity and nightlife and parties and art, they're into that world. That would be the project that I would look into, you know, and don't invest in something that you don't understand. It's like a golden rule. Right. But for some reason, people forget it because it's the crypto world. But, you know,
it's very difficult. Listen, you know, it's very difficult to not take the tip when someone says it's going up 1,000 times and then you get rich quick. It's human nature and it's never going to disappear, right? But I think the good news is that we're on the cusp of regulation here. It's not far away. And my history with this sort of stuff is that when regulation comes into a nascent market like this, it doesn't destroy it. It makes it better. and prices go up, not down. The bad shit disappears, which it should, but the real stuff that has utility, that's legitimate, it will actually go higher over the long term because institutions now will be more comfortable to get involved. So I think that's the big play I see for 2022, 2023, 2024. And I think also in terms of the metaverse that there's an old saying, you know, institutional money is usually smart money. Even when it's not, it's enough to fuel the market anyway, right? There's so much money going into the metaverse right now from companies like Meta, and always tens and tens of billions of dollars, right? So I would say they're probably not all wrong. And even if they are wrong, there's so much money to be made on the coattails of that over the next 3 years that I would think it's smart money. Yeah. Even if you're an amateur, you're probably pretty safe investing in these projects.
And what I would say is that we've reached the escape velocity already. And this is the first time, and you know this better than I do, and maybe you'll agree, that it's the first time in the Wall Street's history or in investing history where the retailer can front run institutions, because people are talking about institutional money in crypto and blah blah blah. It's still not here. Yeah. The majority of it is
small, very small
retailers, family yeah, exactly. offices, yeah. and high net worth individuals, like yeah. for example, Yoel, right?
Right.
But
it's not like the teacher's pension fund, or, not yet.
But why? That's coming, why? Though. Because it because of no regulation.
Of course.
Once a regulation comes, that's where the majority of the influx of money is going to come in, and the retailer who has acquired certain assets, and again by doing right. due diligence and having blue chip cryptos, he's going to have the upper hand.
So with
by the way, great T-bit.
It is right. It's my company.
No way.
It is. It's a company. Yeah. This is a great, it's private. It's not a public company. It's just a private company.
I can't buy the stock.
I know you can't buy the stock. Unfortunately, one day, I think the truth is we'll probably never be public. My guess is these sort of things, they get bought by companies like Pepsi,
Coca-Cola,
and Coke,
and
right? Because it's too expensive for a company to, like them, for a big company to launch a brand. They're not set up for that. So what they do is they'll go out there and they'll try to find really hot brands that are really centralized in a certain market. So we're really big in the Northeast, and now we're coming to Florida, South Florida, right? And strategically, we're not actually going to the whole country because it's actually more valuable to a Coca-Cola to say, fuck, they're doing 60 million in the Northeast. Imagine if we put our national footprint, you get it?
Yeah.
So by concentrating in certain areas, we actually increase the value. So we're being pretty smart about that. And then, yeah, it's great. It's really, it does really, really well. It's all right,
You should bring it to Dubai. By the way, the IG's office is in Dubai, in the largest building in the world, Burj Khalifa, 140X4.
And you guys are on which floor?
I was thinking about
the top five floors, right?
143rd.
I have trouble getting work done there. It's a bit of work. Amazing,
If you know about the security in Dubai, this is one thing. I love Miami, but one thing that when you live in Dubai, and I've been living there for the last 3 years, is you kind of lose that lizard brain instinct of safety. So when
Dubai is so safe, by
exactly,
the way. It's incredibly safe.
You could be walking at the most sketchy street in Dubai at middle of the night, and you hear footsteps of a person like 10 feet behind you. You're not gonna even worry about it.
Yeah,
try and do that in Miami. Yeah. And Miami is one of the safer cities.
The penalty for pickpocketing in Dubai is death. No, I'm just kidding. But listen, I love Dubai. It's my favorite places in the world, and they got it right. I think they're very, very harsh on crime, but they're like, listen, if you want to make money and do it right, there's no better place in the world than Dubai.
You know what I say about it? Frank Sinatra sang about New York. If you can make it here, you can make it everywhere.
Yeah.
I sing about Dubai. If you can't make it here,
it's true. It's a great place for raising money, a great place. There's also a lot of smart people there that are looking to get shit done. And that's important as well.
That's what you said about laws being strict.
Yeah.
That also is transcending to the crypto world. They're regulating it. They're open to it, but they're regulating it, and we're under the regulation of them.
Right.
So that's one of the kind of points.
100%. So tell me the difference, and this not just for, let's use Realms as an example, between a governance token and an in-game token. How do those differ, the two?
Yeah, it depends a lot on the project, but again, in very general terms, the governance token would be something that you have some voting right for the game or for the project that you hold, collect a certain amount, which
this is the offer you just closed, right? That gives people these that's the token that you sold.
No,
or is that the end? Which one was sold?
the one that was sold, it's not going to be used in the game.
Right.
It is the company's token, but it's not, you know, it's not voting rights or anything, you know.
Okay.
The company is
that's a profit part. That's like just owning almost the crypto version of having equity in a game, right?
Yes, exactly. Okay. But then again, like with usage of Realms, we've created the ecosystem, the economy in a way that the token would the value would increase.
Got it.
That's the most important thing for us, you know, too. It's like to have the sustainability, because part of the tokens that are being allocated is not only for the investors, but it's also the treasury to create to develop the game further.
Got it. Right. So that token that's done. That offering is closed.
Private.
Yeah. So that's going to start trading at some point, right? So
yeah.
Tell me the pathway for the actual. So, okay, you did an offering, you raised, what was it again? 15 million?
14 million.
14 million, right? Now what happens next? That will ultimately, that money gets used to complete the game, right?
Yes.
And the initial money was just the company invested their own money, yep. Which is great.
Skin in
the game. One of the things I loved, right? You're the skin in the game, which is awesome, right? Now you put, and you're all the company's insides, including mine, they're all locked up for the long term.
Yeah, what's very cool is
I also put my own money.
Exactly, that's what I wanted to say.
Okay,
so not only an advisor.
Just so you know how much I believe in this fucking game, okay? That I got, just because I'm helping them consulting, they gave me, I earned it, a huge amount of tokens here. A lot, enough to get really, really rich if it works, and I will. I believe it's going to work huge, right? And then I said, all right, I want to put my own money in anyway. I put my own fucking money in to the offering anyway on top of it.
Yeah,
right? So I had it for free. I worked hard to get it, but that's my own. That's what I think about it, right? So what's the symbol going to be when it starts to trade?
It's going to be RETH.
Right. And my tokens are locked up for the long term. Don't worry, guys. Right.
But that was what's cool. You know, we just received, like, after the dinner, we received a message. I want to put an X amount of money more to my advisory tokens. Tag Matt. Let's do things. Yeah. Like, I like the way you do business. And when you decide, you decide. Yeah.
Well, let's also listen. You know, I like the reason you say, wow, you like to play for the long term. I like being locked up. Because if I'm not locked up,
no pun intended, right?
No, not like that too. Of course, you saw the movie, right? Okay, Wolfie, my safe word, right? Anyway, my mother was next to me in the premiere. That was like my most embarrassing moment. So this,
I watched it with my parents too.
She had a candle in my ass, and she's, you know, mom, and I'm screaming my safe word. My mother's, I'm like, Mom, it's all fucking fiction. She's like, I know what you're capable of.
Listen, both of my parents are lawyers. I watched the movie too, and they love the movie.
I know. It's funny. People could like look past that and say, oh, it's hysterical, right? But anyway, so it starts to trade, right? Now, what I'm saying is that the reason I like lockups for myself, even, it's forced patience. So like, I'm a long-term player, but everybody, if something is not locked up, it almost breeds contempt among people. You never know who's selling, who's not. When something is locked up, like Realms is locked up for the long term, then you just know. And it gives all the people that buy it in the retail investors that are buying it, they get a fair shake because like everyone else is locked up. They might have paid less, but they have to lock it up and they got to bet on the success of the company, right?
And the cool thing about it is that the retailers will buy it and they will be liquid straight away.
Right. They can get in and exactly a different thing, right? So what's the actual, it's RETH, right?
Yeah.
And it'll start off trading where? Like a sushi swap or a page? It'll be on a DeFi exchange.
We will start with DeFi exchanges, but you know, I don't want to name any names because that's, you know, contractual.
But the plan is then ultimately get it listed on all the major exchanges, right? Like Coinbase, Gate.io.
Not naming any names,
right,
but
that's the plan,
yes. But
right?
Industry leaders are the connections that we have.
But it will start off on DeFi, right?
Yeah.
And do you know when that's going to be, what date more or less is going to start trading?
Can we, that's going to be.
Before May 1st?
We can say before the end of April.
Before the end of April, yeah. Right? Okay, so somewhere mid-April to the end of April, start to trade. And again, I'm not telling anyone to buy or not buy, I'm just giving you information here.
Yeah, so it will start trading by the end of the April, yeah.
And the goal is, obviously, so there's going to be some expectation, right? Because the game is coming out, but so these things have a lot of hype attached to it. So sometimes they do really well after they come out. But more importantly than that, the long-term idea is that by adding on users, by creating this huge ecosystem, the game actually works. That's where the real value is in the token over the long term.
Yes, and let me tell you this, you know, with DIG, we're creating multiple projects. We're here for the long term. We're looking at, you know, the short term plan for us is like 5-year vision. That's that's our roadmap. That's our first roadmap. So, and Realms is our flagship project. So this is
something. Let's go back to DIG for a second. Yeah. So DIG, right? Decentralized Investment Group. Right? Okay. You're the president, right? Which I think you're a great addition to the team, by the way.
Thank you.
Right?
By the way, I met DIG through you.
I know,
yeah, that's so funny, right?
Exactly. Right? Which is awesome, right? But so the idea with DIG, it's like it's a holding company for developing crypto projects in the metaverse, gaming, DeFi, what else?
Yeah.
DeFi, NFT, right? So three of one. So, essentially what you're doing is you're looking at people like, you got the word that people know you have money, right? Now, right. So is all these people just pouring down your door with like ideas like, I want to be bought by you so you can bring that project to life. Is that what's happening right now?
Yeah, we get approached a lot by people, you know, who have ideas, but don't necessarily maybe have the full infrastructure. And what we're building in DIG, it's 250 people company right now. And the way we're growing fast is that we're acquiring other companies, like for example, Wild Thunder Studios. That what allows us to grow so fast, but also, you know, we ask, you know, entrepreneurs to feel free to reach out to us. You know, if you have an idea, we have the whole infrastructure, which means developers, smart contract auditors, marketeers, A to Z, you name it, we can build it. So, but the focus right now, we're talking about NFTs, GameFi. All right,
good. Question. This is a good question, right? So tell me what you look for in a project and what are the things that you say, I don't care how good it looks, they did. Done. What's like your sort of no-go? And not just for DIG, but for people that just any project that you're looking at, whether it's a DIG project or anything you see that's trading publicly right now, one of the exchanges, right? What is it that you look for? What to you makes a great project? And what do you say, nope, they're out?
A red flag is a person who shows up and it's easy to see that he just wants to make money. You know, if that's someone that has spent time in the market, that understands its own domain, you know, if it's somebody that has never built a game or has never, you know, had any experience building games, and they're just going to say, come in and say, oh, I want to build play to earn game, which is going to be like, a basketball game or whatever or whatnot. That is a red flag that this is not the person we want to deal with. We're dealing with long-term players. That's what we want to do.
So that's the first no-go, right?
That's the first no-go. Okay. And it's quite easy to see these guys who are just, you know, this year they're going to be, you know.
Whatever the hot money is. Next year,
they just follow the money. That's the only
thing. So you're looking back at the history of what they've done in the past, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And now let's go to the positive side. What are the, give me three things that you look for, and also that anybody listening, if they're just looking at any coin or token, what are the three things that you think make a successful launch and idea for this world of blockchain and crypto?
Yeah, so I would have to say still that you have to have some experience. You have to have some experience either building startups or being in the crypto.
So the team itself, that the team has some success behind
it. But, you know, I would say even all of the three things, if I would have to name, is like the team.
we're in agreement on this, by the way.
Because it's technology could be great.
So what's the first thing I did when I got involved with DIG? I brought my friend Yoel in, who's massively experienced in this game.
And we love the Yoel,
He's a force of nature, Yoel, right?
So 100%.
So I knew what you guys needed. So the first thing I did when I started consulting for you guys was I said, I know what they need. They need a Yoel guy. You already had a $15 billion cash out, right? And knows everybody in the industry, because your lead thing was a game, by the way, it's Realms, right?
Yes.
He was a great addition. He's helped you guys tremendously, right? What would you think the biggest impact Yoel has had on your company? I'm talking about Yoel Altman, who's Poker Stars, $15 billion cash out, brilliant guy. So what's the biggest impact he's had?
It's the network, right? And what we thought about when we brought you in as an advisor, we thought, all right, this is a person who has like a major outreach. He's an influencer.
Right.
But
a financial network too, right?
But what was opened up is like the financial network we haven't expected. And, you know, and it works like, you know, Yoel is a friend of ours, and then Yoel introduces us to somebody.
It's so fast. Once it starts, it's like a fucking chain reaction, right? And
exactly. And Yoel, like, for example, compared to other, let's say, high net worth individuals, he has experience in the blockchain space, in crypto. He's invested in multiple funds. He has connections in multiple funds, and he understands the technology. And he can read people pretty well.
Yeah.
being a poker world,
he's my best friends, right? And but I think for me, the reason I brought Yoel in was because It was the gaming experience for me, and I knew the money would be easy to raise anyway, right? But yeah, I just thought that having someone that really had a huge cash out would give you guys a perspective of like really where, you know, of sort of, and also that you'd have the respect for him, that you would understand he's had the experience, right? So I think one thing if I see about DIG, if there's one thing you guys do really, really well, is you take advice really, really well. There's a lot of companies, I consult around the world for lots of big companies, small companies that want to become big companies. And the biggest mistake, and this is so fucking common, is that they'll pay me millions of dollars and don't listen to a fucking thing I say. And they keep paying me millions of dollars right until they go out of business because they didn't listen. I really, it's insane. But what you guys do really well is you really take advice and you just run with it. And I commend you. And you're also not scared to be wrong, by the way, which is important in your world where you're trying to develop things. You're not like scared to take a shot at something. It doesn't work. Next, you know, you move on to the next one, and you're when you're wrong, using your own money, you're not floating things with public money, using your own money. So when you're wrong, it's it. And then when it's right, though, then you bring in the bigger funds, and that's I think a model that's very sustainable. We're running out of time here, so before we could talk forever here, but last thing I want to know, right? So Realms is going to be publicly traded on the DeFi exchange sometime in the mid-April. Beginning of April, right? What is the game going to come out? The first, the earliest version, you think?
The alpha version is going to be the first quarter of next year.
Got it.
Yeah, and again, we're taking our time because we want, you know, quality is much more important for us than, you know, to be very fast with this.
And is there a place that people can go now, even though the game isn't launched, and first, you know, start finding, get into the community, start learning about what's going on, finding out about the launch of your token?
Yeah, so when it comes to all of the projects, go to decentralizedinvestment.group, and for Realms of Eternity, just put in Google Realms of Eternity. You're gonna see the community.
Great
there.
Name, by the way, Realms
of Eternity.
So this is a great story. I know. I'll tell you how they came up with this name. It was actually a typo made by someone. And they're like, "Fuck, that's instead of Eternity, it was Eternity." And it's a great name because of Ether, right?
Ether, yeah.
Great
yeah.
name, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we got to roll here. It's not. Well, I'm sure you'll be on many times in the future, but everyone. Listen, as you know, I'm an investor. I put my own, right? You know, I must believe in this because I put my own money into it after I had enough to, you know, if it works, and I believe it's going to work, right? I'm going to get very, very even wealthier on this thing. And I still put my own money in because I believed in it that much. But again, always make your own decision. Check it out. Realms of Eternity and Decentralized Investment Group.
Yes, sir.
Out of Dubai and also the Bahamas. Correct?
Yeah, and that's why we commend you, you know, for you and Yoel coming to Dubai, 16-hour flight. But of course, you know, you try fly you know, for no first
you,
class.
No
so
one
you
gave
don't really
you a harder time than me, though, right? About to make sure. No, I fucking put a microscope up your fucking assholes before I would let my name be anywhere near this company. You guys impressed me because you guys are legit, and I'm proud of you for that. Seriously,
thank you
You've
very
come
much.
A long way. All right,
it was great
everyone, check
to
it out here. Great company, going places fast. Realms of Eternity, Decentralized Investment Group. Another great episode of the Wolf's Den, and we'll talk again next week. Take care.